So you've heard about a dream that I had, somebody gave me. I have loads of dreams. I've been dreaming now for about 10 years and noticing about them. Let me just have a look at the passage, Genesis 40. So the background, I don't need to fill you all in. You'll look pretty clued up, a lot of people. With your Bible, we know the story of Joseph. Joseph was born a dreamer. He was an actual dreamer, actually got him in a lot of hot water from his brothers. He actually dreamt that, you know, he was a sheaf of corn, and all his brothers' sheaves of corn bowed before him. That didn't go down too well with his brothers. He ended up, as we know the story goes on, he ends up in prison, and lo and behold, in the prison gets thrown the king's baker and the king's chief wine taster, or the man who was in charge of his wine. And they have a dream. They both have dreams. So I'm looking at chapter 40, verse 5. One night there in prison, the wine steward and the chief baker each had a dream. And the dreams had different meanings. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were upset. And he asked them, "Why do you look so worried today?" They answered, "Each of us has had a dream, and there's no one here to explain what the dreams mean." Joseph says something very important. It is God who gives the ability to interpret dreams. And yet then Joseph went on to say, "Tell me your dreams." God gives Joseph the ability to interpret. It comes from heaven. So the wine steward said, "Well, in my dream, there was a grapevine in front of me with three branches on it. As soon as the leaves came out, the blossoms appeared and the grapes ripened. I was holding the king's cup, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into the cup and gave it to him." Joseph had an immediate interpretation. "This is what it means," he says. "The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, the king will release you, pardon you, and restore you to your position. And you will give him the cup as you did before when you were his wine steward." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation of the wine steward's dream was favorable, verse 16, he said to Joseph, "Tell me about my dream." Not such a good one, I'm afraid. "I was carrying 3 bread baskets on my head, and in the top basket there were all kinds of pastries for the king, and the birds were eating them." And Joseph had to very honestly tell him the interpretation of that dream, which wasn't so nice, I'm afraid. He said, "In 3 days the king will release you and have your head cut off and will hang you, and the birds will eat your flesh." On his birthday, 3 days later, the king gave a banquet for all his officials, and he did those two things, released the wine steward and the chief baker, restored the wine steward, executed the baker. That happened 3 days later. Accuracy, strategy, giving God's plan, speaking out the truth of heaven and God, and it was. And that's what dreams are all about. God dreams are all about. Somebody reminded me, came up to me after the first service and said, sometimes dreams don't happen just like 3 days later. They happen many, many years later. God's timing. Very true. I'm going to just talk a little bit around the subject, but we've been hearing in this series about the way God speaks. He speaks through dreams. He speaks in so many ways, and he has so many words. So I just want us to notice our dreams. I want us to notice that dreams are very important. Some may be God dreams where he's talking to us, and he's telling us big things. So let's just have a very brief overview. I've got very, very short time, although I might go over the time a little. So throughout church history, God has been restoring different parts of truth. Sometimes salvation, In the 70s, the restoration of the Holy Spirit in my day, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 16. Maybe in the last few years, dreams and visions. And an increase of things like that, very much more kind of supernatural, deep things, because these are very deep and significant times. It's prophecy, dreams, and visions are a marker for our times. If we're seeing more dreams and visions, we're hearing about Iranians becoming Christians through dreams, Muslims. Perhaps it's referring to Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. We can imagine a vision perhaps is a daytime dream, if you like, and dream referring to during time of sleep. And you know, children are dreaming all over the place. My grandchildren dream, and I always ask them what their dreams are, so that I can tell them what the meanings are, what they can start to understand, what God says about them. And I have been interpreting dreams for quite a few years now for lots of different people, so I suppose I've been on a journey, but it is a gift of maturity. It is a mature gift. And it takes some working on and some understanding. So this is only just a kind of start us to think about it. You could get started by right. Before I do that, let me just have a quick snapshot of some different biblical dreams. We have Joseph, we have Daniel, who interpreted a dream for the godless king Nebuchadnezzar, saying his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. So it happened immediately. We have New Testament dreams. We have Joseph in the New Testament, don't we? Being told to take the baby Jesus elsewhere. We have the three kings in a dream being told to move on and not to speak to Herod. We have Peter's vision of all the foods he could eat. What a reassuring dream that was. Peter, who was very involved in the Jewish law, was told, actually, Peter, you can eat anything. He was given a vision of all the different animals coming down. So that was a reassurance. Change of theology through a dream. Amazing. We have Paul having the dream of the man of Macedonia who was going to be coming, that Paul was able to lead to Jesus. He was prepared through a dream. I have lots of dreams like that when Jesus, God prepares me for who's coming, so I know what's going to happen. And we can lead them to Jesus, or tell them this, or tell them that. Samuel heard God calling him in a dream. Samuel, Samuel. And it took a mature Eli to tell him, that's God. Next time he says that, say, yes, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I'm just leaving that. I just feel that's a word to you. Yes, Lord, what do you want to say to me in the night time when I'm sleeping? We can have different types of dreams. I completely understand that. We can have the commentary dreams, you know, the daytime events unfolding in a funny, higgledy-piggledy way. We can have kind of psychological dreams where we understand something about our nature, perhaps. They're helpful because we can ask Jesus to heal us of certain things. Psychologists like those dreams. We can have God dreams where there's certain symbols, which I'll talk about in a second, used, which might give us strategy. Dreams can give us warnings, they can give us revelation and understanding, they can provide spiritual direction, they can lead to salvation. I hope I'm whetting your appetite to want to dream more. They can offer guidance and challenge wrong direction. They can give comfort, encourage, edify. They can reveal our gifting and our destiny. They can confirm things we've already heard from God through Scripture. They can be a commentary on our lives and feelings. They can be very revealing. God dreams are astounding. We can have nightmares, which come from the enemy, which we can learn to deal with and put under the feet of King Jesus and bring to the throne and deal with and refuse to listen to. And if you've had any of those sort of dreams and you want to share at the end, then there'd probably be a time for someone to pray with you. So how do you get started? If you are a person who, if you are a Joseph here, are there any Josephs here who dream a lot? No one's going to own up, but I'm sure there are. If you are a dreamer, or if you'd like to start having more dreams, how do you start to notice? First of all, have a notebook or a tablet like I do beside your bed. And make a note of it immediately you wake up, because you can be sure that many other things will get in the way as the day goes on and you'll forget it. Write it down. And as you write it down, ask for revelation. I went through a phase of thinking, I know my dreams, I know my interpretation straight away, realizing that I was actually becoming a bit lazy, and the Lord showed me to start writing them down again. And I realized as I was writing my dream down, I was beginning to get the understanding just by making that effort. Write them down. Check with Scripture. Look at the dreams in Scripture that there are. You know, ask yourself, what do these symbols mean? There's a whole language of dreams. When Jesus spoke to the people in parables, he used terminology that they would really understand, like sheep, like fish. In the Old Testament, Joseph's dream used very normal, natural parts of life: sheaves of corn, sun, moon, and stars. When God speaks to us now in dreams, he uses very common symbols that mean like for like a house, your life, like a television perhaps, communication, different animals. What does a dog represent? Lovely, loyal friends. What does food represent? Well, meat might represent something like, you know, solid food. It's all biblical. What else can I think of? You can have dark dreams that might seem dark, full of funerals and death. Funerals and death often mean brand new beginnings. They have good meanings. Dreams are given by a God of love. He doesn't generally give us these, I would think, sort of dream that Joseph had to then impart to the poor baker. I would never recommend anyone imparting that kind of interpretation to anybody unless you're very, very, very mature and very wise. So look at your symbols, and are they good or are they bad? I suppose, you know, if you had a dream about a dog, it could mean a very good friend is supporting you in a time of difficulty. Or if the dog in the dream, you know, if that was a lovely, lovely sort of licky type of dog, if that dog had, you know, horrible teeth and growled at you and bit you, you could assume that particular symbol was a little bit of a warning of something that could bite you. And I had a dream like that. Before I went to Nepal, I had a dream that I was bitten by a dog, and the way I had to deal with it was to pour lots and lots of water on the wound. And I did have a spiritual attack when I was in Nepal. I woke up in the night feeling all kinds of, you know, really dark stuff, And I just remembered my dream very quickly, and I got a bottle of water, and I just pretended to pour it all over me. And it all makes sense. It really, really makes sense. It's all very logical. And, you know, a couple more things to finish with. Flowers. I wonder what they would mean in the dream. Fragrance, colour, harvest time. It's all sorts of things. I'm sure you're now thinking about various dreams that you've had. They're a wonderful way of God speaking to his people, and he's increasing them at this time. So we must be in very significant times. The night times are very significant, because what happens to our minds when we sleep? If we sleep well, and I know not everybody sleeps well, if we sleep well, our minds rested, our spirit's peaceful, our soul is quiet. We can't argue with God, can we, when we're asleep? We can't say, "Ooh, but I don't think so," and I can't. All of our inhibitions and our workings out are quiet. And I can't find it now. I was going to read that verse to finish with, but let me just have one quick look. It's from Song of Songs. Just think that the night time is your time, you and God. It's the night time, you and God. We're just going to end by praying and just maybe have a little bit of quiet now. Father God, I thank you that you are doing a fantastic and amazing work in these times, Lord. We can look on the news and we can think everything is dire, but actually everything is according to your plan and your purpose. And if we read Revelation, we would understand that there's a lot of very dark times. But thank you, Lord, that in these times you're also stirring up deeply spiritual times. The spirit world is becoming more clear and more real, and there's a speed of things that has never happened before. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking and bringing people to Jesus through dreams. Thank you that you're giving strategy to churches through dreams. Thank you you're giving strategy to individuals through dreams. Thank you that we don't have to be anybody special to have a dream. Thank you for the night times that belong to you, and you can speak to us and impart your wonderful revelation while we're resting. So would you do that, Lord? For those here who genuinely seeking and searching, this has stirred up something in us. Would you restore dreams and visions, and may we hear the voice of God in that way.